Today we begin lesson 15 in the Megillas Esther. We'll be learning Perek Zayin, chapter 7. We'll be learning Psukim Aleph Tavav 1 to 6 in the Simonim Tanakh. We're on page 1269, about a third of the way down the page. Vayavo Hamelech veHaman, Vayavo, and he came. And the king came and Haman came, Lishtos, to the feast. Im Esther, with Esther Hamalka, the queen. Now if you'll notice back in the earlier chapter, when it talks about the first party, it says they came, but it didn't say Lishtos, to feast. Why does it add the word to feast over here? There's a number of answers in terms of all three people taking part of the feast. In terms of Esther, the first feast, she was fasting herself. So obviously they're not coming to feast with her. Now that she's able to eat at the second fast, so she's part of that. Number two, Haman now was very embittered over his squandered opportunities and how he felt so humiliated with Mordechai and mourning for the death of his daughter. And the king also had frightening dreams and was very suspicious of Haman and Esther. So Haman and Mordechai both wanted to feast, and specifically Lishtos, to drink a lot of wine to forget about their problems. We see that here is great Hashkacha Pratis, again, divine supervision, that although the king was disturbed as he was, he still went ahead with the feast in order to fulfill Esther's wishes, which we'll see are very fortuitous for the Jewish people. Pasuk Beis, Vayomer HaMelech, and the king said to Esther, Gam, again, Vayom HaSheni, on the second day, B'mishteh HaYayin, at the feast of the wine, Ma She'elaseich, what is your request, Esther HaMalka, Esther the queen, V'tinasein Loch, and it will be given to you, Uma Bakashaseich, and what is your petition, Ad Chatsi HaMalchus, until half of the kingdom, V'seyos, and it will be done. Pasuk Gimel, Vatan Esther Hamalka, and Esther the queen responded, Vatomer, she said, Imotzasi chein be'einecho hamelech, Imotzasi, if I have found chein, favor, be'einecho, in your eyes, ha-king, hamelech, the king. Here she is really referencing to Hashem. If I have found favor in your eyes, Hashem, and also vi'im, and if, al hamelech tov, on the king Achashverosh, it is pleasing. So really she's asking for both. Tinosein li, give to me, nafshi, my life, bishela si, in my request. In other words, that I not be killed on the 13th of Adar. Va'ami, and give my nation, bevakasha si, in my petition. Because after all, if my people are killed, what is my life worth? Now, it would seem that at first glance that Esther is selfishly thinking of herself first by requesting herself before her nation. But the commentators explain that Esther is being very clever. First, she says, listen, I'm asking you for my life because I'm going to be threatened of being killed. So right away, the king says, well, of course, I'm going to spare your life. There's no question about it. Now, once she's got him involved in this, he says, well, that's not going to be enough, you see, because my people are also going to be killed. So what's my life worth if my people are killed? So now the king will also be very concerned about her people as well. Now, Esther proves that the entire plan of killing her and the Jews was really a very evil design on the part of Haman, who had no care for the king at all, as she proves in Pasuk Dalet. Key, 4. If Nimkarnu, had we been sold, Ani, myself, Vami, and my people, rather, let's say that again, Ki, because Nimkarnu, we have been sold, given over, Ani, Vami, me and my people, for what purpose? Lahashmid, to be destroyed, Laharog, to be killed, Ulabedim, to be annihilated. That's what's happening. We are now been given over to be destroyed. Now, had it been a little different, V'ilu, and had we been given over just as lavodim, just for servants, v'lishvachas, and maids, nimkarna, we would have been sold, then hecharashti, I would have been silent. But the fact of the matter is, that's not what's going on over here. And the fact is, you need to know that our adversary does not care about the king, ki because ein hatzor, the adversary, in other words, Haman, she hasn't said it yet, but the adversary, ein, is not shovet, is not worthy, and is not worthy, we'll explain something, benezek hamelech, for the damage of the king. Which she means to say that the adversary that we have is not concerned for the king's damage. If he really cared about the king, he would have sold us to another nation. The king would have made a lot of money, and that would have been great for the king. Not just killing out a people like that, that doesn't help the king at all. So therefore, the tsar, the adversary, he's not shoveh, he's not worthy in terms of Benezek Hamelech, the damage that's happening to the king. So he doesn't care about you. So now the king's really upset. Hey, Vayomer Hamelech Achashverosh, and the king Achashverosh says, Vayomer, and he says, La Esther Amalka, to Queen Esther, me, who's that? Is it? Who is this one? Ve'e, and where, Zehu, where is this guy? Asher Melo Olibo, whose heart is filled. In other words, he's planning. Lassos came to do this. Now the question is, how does Achashverosh not know what's going on over here? Haman asked him long ago, and he agreed to it. So there's two answers. One is that, of course, he knew that Haman was going to destroy the Jews, but he didn't know that Esther was a Jew, so he doesn't know that her life is in danger, and that's her people. And number two, he didn't know, even though he said to Haman, do with them what you wish, he never thought that he was going to kill the Jews. Maybe he would have sold the Jews. Pasuk Vav, Vatomer Esther, and Esther says, Ish Tsar, who is the adversary, Va'oyev, and the enemy? It is Haman Hara Hazeh, this evil Haman, this intrinsically evil Haman, who's doing this out of personal revenge, and he's not interested in the kingdom at all. Now, what's Haman's response? Vahaman nivas, and Haman was trembling in fear, milifnei, in front of Hamelech, the king, vehamalka, and the queen. It seems that because he's in front of the king and the queen at the same time, he's trembling. Why do we have to stress this? Because had he only been in front of one of the two separately, he could have gotten out of things. If he only would have been in front of the queen, he could have innocently said he didn't know the Jews were her people. And had he known they were her people, he never would have issued the decree. If he would have spoken to the king alone, he could have claimed that although the Jews were Esther's people, they were still nevertheless worthy of extinction. But since both the king and the queen were there together, he couldn't defend himself. How could he tell the king in the queen's presence that her people were evil? And how could he say to the queen in the king's presence that had he known they were her people, he never would have condemned them? Well, once he said they were thoroughly evil, it would have been traitorous for him to allow their survival. So therefore he trembled because in front of both of them, he could not get out of that. Let's take a look at the questions number one. Why is the word to feast added in Pasuk 1 regarding the second feast, but was not mentioned by the first feast? Because in this feast, number one, Esther is now able to eat, which she could not do in the first feast. Number two, Haman really wants to drink a lot to forget about his troubles of his plans being reversed and of things going the wrong way and his humiliation and his mourning. And the king also wanted to drink to forget his problems because he was very frightened for the dreams and is very suspicious of perhaps treachery with Haman and Esther. Two, what did the king ask from Esther at the second feast? What is your request and what is your petition? Three, what does Esther answer? She answers, I'm requesting my life and petitioning for my people. Four, why does Esther request her life before petitioning for her nation? Because first she's asking for her own life. Once the king agrees to that and is involved and committed to her safety, then she says, well, my life isn't worth anything if you don't save my people either. Five, under what circumstance would Esther not have felt compelled to plead for herself and her people had we just been sold as slaves to another nation? Six, who is the adversary Esther is referring to? Haman. Seven, how does Esther prove that the adversary does not care about the damage the decree does to the king? Because if he would have cared, he would have sold the people, got a lot of money for the king, and the country would have benefited. There's no benefit in killing all the Jews. Eight, why does the king ask Esther who the adversary is? Didn't he agree to Haman's plans? Number one, the fact is, he did not know that Haman's plans, he did not know that Esther was a Jew, so how would he know that that Esther's life was in danger? And number two, the king only said to Haman, do as you want with these people. He never said, go kill these people. 9. Why did Esther refer to Haman as evil? To say he's intrinsically evil, because since all he's doing is not for the benefit of the kingdom, it's only for his personal revenge. Why does the text stress that Haman was trembling in terror before both the king and the queen? Because had he been in front of each one individually, he could have pushed each one off, innocently saying either to the queen that he didn't know the Jews were her people, and had he known, he never would have done this, or if alone to the king, he could have claimed that although the Jews are Esther's people, they were nevertheless worthy of extinction. But now that he's in front of both the king and queen, he obviously cannot say those excuses in front of the other person. Please spend a few days going over today's lesson and also spend some time going over lessons 13 and 14. Have a great day.